This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. We're going to talk about a subject that we have touched on multiple times on and offline, and I feel like it needs its own episode.
I'm surprised we haven't had it.
Yeah, which is like why I feel like this is so appropriate. And this is an episode about the, I guess, the industry popular term, which is health at every size. And to break that down, that is people that, whether they're underweight, whether they're overweight, whether they have too much muscle, basically claiming or laying claims to, you have to love yourself. Like, you have to love yourself, and therefore, by loving yourself, no matter what size you are healthy. You are good. You don't need to change at any size.
I think it's usually put like, as long as you're happy. So if you're happy with how you are and it's how you choose to be, you can be healthy at any size.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to share our thoughts on it and I guess debunk some of the logic or rationale behind it. But before we do, jump into this episode real quick. You guys know there's only one type of supplements that we use, and that is because these guys use, they create it in Sydney. So we're not being contaminated with any factories in China or anything. They source all the products.
Or even worse than that, United States.
Come on, guys. They're the best supplements. They're natural. They digest really well. They've almost had almost zero negative feedback for maybe one or two people. And they're constantly putting out amazing products. And this True Protein. So you guys know, if you want the discount, mymuscleproject.com/trueprotein. Go on the site. We don't need to tell you what to buy. You guys just love supplements. And you know the ones that you like and that you need. And you've heard us talk about the best ones. So go find them. Go find the stuff that you need and check it out. On the other hand, we've got another Australian company that we're supporting, but they're open to world domination, which is why they have free shipping worldwide. And that's the RecGen apparel. I'm wearing the pants right now. Raph, you're wearing their new Generation 2 Drop Crew Neck, which they revisited and redid. There is a zip in the arm sleeve.
Wow.
And that is for like keys and stuff like that. So real quick, you've got the new generation stuff on. I wore some of the new generation stuff. I wore the... It's not the Biform zip-up pant. It's the one of the tracksuit pants, but it's not the soft, laid-back one. It's kind of the middle ground pant. Absolutely love it. They've created something that's... We talked about Lululemon being some of the best fabric, which I still think is true, but he has made leaps and bounds coming out to him. And I actually think in this particular track pant, he's created a blend. Luke's created a blend in these pants that allows it to be really tight. I like them. I like my pants kind of nice, tight-fitting, but they don't get loose over the day. Some of the Lulu stuff, it stretches a lot. And so over the day, it gets really saggy, like around the back of the knees and around the crotch. And Luke's created a slightly stiffer material, not quite as, but it still has that kind of tight look to it, that kind of stretch fabric look to it. But at the same time, it doesn't get loose over the day. So I've loved those pants. Who knows what will be in a few washes, but for now, absolutely loving it. But the crew neck soft hoodie, what do you think?
Yeah, it's the only thing of the new generation I've tried, and the material's super comfortable.
Yeah, super soft, laid back, and it fits really well. Nice. Yeah, I like the neck as well. So guys, check it out, themymuscleproject.com/recgen, RECGEN, one word, and you can get a free, well, you won't get free anything actually, you'll get a discount, but there is free shipping worldwide on any of your orders. Okay, let's get into it. The reality of health at every size. Where did this come from? So, there was a movement, or this is where I believe the origins of this saying came from. There was a movement in 2017-18 called intuitive eating, and it came about with all the right intentions and all the right people behind it. And I guess it was in some ways a counter to, or was the counterculture to macros, structured eating, weighing. And instead it became, let's use our intuition as to what our body needs and what our body wants to eat. And that doesn't mean I feel like cupcakes today, right? It means I've been eating these type of foods for a very long time, and mentally I'm exhausted from eating salmon and chicken and broccoli and rice all the time and avoiding alcohol and having no chocolate. And let's bring a bit more intuition for it. Maybe I need to, you know, eat these foods, which are my base, but allow myself to, okay, enjoy myself on the weekends, go have a meat pie while I'm watching the footy, or go have a couple of beers at the pub, because that's my intuition tells me that's going to be better for my mental health, and bring a bit more balance to, especially psychologically, to my nutrition. And that's, I guess, the basis of intuitive eating. And that in some ways, I guess some of the logic and the rationale was behind it is, yes, your body is giving you signals and you can't just completely program it like a robot. There is some signals that it's giving you that it's like, hey, maybe it's time to not drink as much coffee. Maybe it's time to hone in and tune in and listen to how is my body actually feeling and responding to these foods. And so, using some of that less robotic macros, numbers, and using a little bit more of the intuition, the non-tangible, to kind of create a nutrition program for myself long term.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point they used to make, which is like, do you need to look at your phone to work out what to eat?
Yeah.
You know, which for a lot of people it had become, which is probably in fairness, a bit strange, right? We've eaten for thousands of years, being really healthy. Do you need to stare at your phone to work out what time and what to eat?
Mm.
Maybe not.
And then what happens with all good things is it did get popularity, and then it started to slowly morph and become hijacked by a few extremists, mainly women, who started saying that, okay, now that we've taken this intuitive eating approach, it should have always been like this. And in fact, you can eat whatever you want. As long as you love yourself, you are healthy. So love equals health. Okay, love for yourself equals health. And therefore, that should happen at any size. Some truth to the statement, some not. Now, love for yourself and health, I believe, have some crossover, like the Venn diagram. But ultimately, if you're extremely unhealthy, and you love yourself, you're a fucking fool, I believe. If you're type 2 diabetic, if you have insulin issues, if you have chronic heart problems, if you have systemic inflammation, if there are things that are going so south, but you're like, I fucking love myself, you know, I love these issues. Man, I guess at the end of the day, you could argue the point that, well, who are you to say to someone that, you know, if they love themselves and they're happy, then let them do what they want to do. But, you know, if I feel like it's irresponsible, I feel like it's negligence. If you have a family, if you have kids, if you have a future, if you have people rely on you, I'd like to, we think that, you know, we'll be selfish, you know. You have friends in your life. You have other people that care about you, and they don't want to see you become unhealthy. And if you were to suffer a chronic health issue and become permanently debilitated, if you became severely crippled or overweight, or you know, in the worst case, died from a health issue that you ignored, that's not self-love. That's putting the people that you care about and you love in a situation where you've diminished their quality of life by becoming, you know, in some ways burdensome, or, you know, if you did, in the extreme example, just pass away, that would be completely unfair to them. So I feel like it's hard to justify complete self-love with being completely unhealthy. And therefore, my rationale is that in order to truly love yourself, you need to actually be healthy. And I think that people make that justification that you can be healthy at any size is because they've never known what it's felt like to truly be healthy and truly have an amazing body that you love and you really take care of. And I think they just use it as that excuse. It's the same way that people demonize money. Well, money's the root of all evil. Money doesn't make you happy. These are people that have never had money, right? These are people that have never been in a financial situation as someone else who's abundant, and they've always had a negative mindset to it, whether adopted by their parents, adopted by society, or any of these things. And therefore, I don't feel like they can speak in an educated way on this topic, which is why when overweight people or severely underweight people or people with eating disorders start telling you to love your body at any size, they are the least qualified people to start telling you that. In fact, the people you need to listen to the most are the people that's gone through the whole journey. People like Raph and myself, gone from a person that was severely underweight, super skinny, like didn't like myself at all. Yet, I guess you could say in some ways there was self-love there. Oh, I still enjoyed my life. I still had lots of friends, blah, blah, blah. But until you kind of unlock the capabilities of what your body, unlock the potential of your body, you don't really know what happiness and you don't really know what self-love is until you kind of really do what your body is meant to do.
Yeah, I think that where part of it also came from an idea which, probably a lot of truth into it, which did become a situation where it was like the less fat you had, the healthier you are. And there's a lot of pushback towards that. Hey, someone's like a little bit on the fatter side, are they actually more unhealthy than the person with like a six pack? Often not. Often they were healthier. I mean, but six pack, it's a terrible diet, never has vegetables, is like chronically stressed, but they have a six pack. Are they always healthier than like the slightly bit of extra fat person? No. Yeah. Like definitely that person can be healthier. It's not like the only metric of health is body fat. So I think they made a pretty good point there. It's just that everything has limits, you know, and there's lots of metrics of health, but that is one of them. And I think that where most of us have probably landed is that regardless of self-love, there's a certain point where, yeah, too much body fat is 100% of the time unhealthy.
Yeah.
And you see nearly every health metric improve when you decrease body fat. And then what happens is that stops. So when you go from like 4-pack to 8-pack, there's probably no health benefits to this, like, I guess, longevity and health.
Yeah.
Definitely some aesthetic benefits, or if you're in a bodybuilding show, it's going to help you. But yeah, there's like no health benefits, but that doesn't scale all the way up. And I think the more extreme you are one end, obviously the better health benefits, right? When you're really overweight, extreme health benefits to losing fat.
Yeah.
And that keeps going and that keeps going. And for men, that's probably maybe like around 15% body fat.
Yeah.
Women's maybe like 21, 22, you know, so they're obviously higher. But just because fat isn't the only metric of whether you're healthy or not, doesn't mean it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know, metric. And yeah, you can be, it's awesome to be happy, but I don't think we can lose the goal of still getting to a healthy amount of body fat.
Yeah. So then that starts to beg the question, okay, if body fat isn't the only metric of health, what are our metrics of health? So if you set the goal of optimizing for maximum health, there are a few different categories that I would touch on that I feel like would, optimize for health. So first, on, you know, I guess the other spectrum of body fat, you've got muscle mass. So, you know, someone who is bodybuilder level jacked, I wouldn't say is healthy either, because once you push into those extremes, you start to sacrifice other areas of health. So one of the other areas of health, I would say, is functionality, right? Functional movement, the term gets butchered, but functionality is what are the most amount of things that your body can do. And the most amount of things your body can do is basically like, can you take on the maximum amount of tasks? If someone's like, okay, well, let's run up that hill and then let's do pull-ups and then let's go grab that really heavy rock and let's carry it over there. And then later this day, can you move house with me? And then, you know, then we're going to go for a, you know, 50, 60 minute walk at night, you know, all these different things. How capable are you of doing all those different things? You know, at some things, you know, go for a run, easy, right? Run up the hill, no problem. Lift that rock, can't pick it up, right? Move house, hurt my back. You know, go for a long walk, I can't, covered in sweat, exhausted. So if you can kind of tick the boxes on all these tasks, I feel like you're the most healthy. Along with that functionality comes injury, right? If you have less functionality, likely you have more injuries. And so injury, chronic pain, that's another marker of health, because as you have lots of muscle, as you become super extreme in your sports or whatever, injuries start to go up, function goes down. So more sports specific you become, I believe the less healthy you become. Most people find it hard to argue that. And then you look at the aspects. So that's kind of looking at all your aspects of physical health, and you've got inner physical health. How is your digestion? How is your energy levels? How's your vitality? How is your sleep? All these things are important as well. There are loads of people that look really good, that have lots of function, that have no injuries, but they have chronic issues with, you know, inflammation or gut issues or some stuff where, you know, foods aren't agreeing with them, or they're just inflamed from that sort of stuff. They're getting breakouts and rashes, and I can't remember all the different diseases, but, you know, really sharp kind of joint pain and stuff that's caused from different foods. So those are issues you got to sort out as well. And then you've even got addictions in there as well. You've got addictions to caffeine, addictions to alcohol, addictions to sugar, all these different types of foods as well, which kind of transitions a little bit into the mental side of loving yourself at any size and the aspects of health. How is your relationship with food, right? You could be the healthiest, fittest person in the world that's lots really functional and doesn't have any injuries, but you're petrified of carbs. You have nightmares about bread. You know, you can't go out and enjoy yourself with friends because you're constantly thinking about how many macros are in this thing. Am I going to weigh and measure? You may be saying no to social events because you can't bear to eat those foods. So mentally, how are you dealing with all these sorts of things? So having the balance and, you know, working on every different aspect of these different things in your life is what, how you kind of move to the center of optimal health. And that is when you start ticking all those boxes, then health at every size isn't the right question, isn't the right statement. Health is health. And that's what you need to get towards. And if you tick all the boxes in those areas, that's it. I think you're kind of living, in some ways, living your best life, right? You are optimizing everything. You're not pushing too far in one way and sacrificing another way. And there's ebbs and flows of that through everyone's life. But if you push towards that center of health and you work on all those things, that is the goal. That is the goal. And then therefore, you just use that metric to measure it against everyone, right? And if that means you measure it against the guy and he doesn't even have a six pack, but he's ticking all those boxes, don't worry about what he looks like. Visually, what he's actually doing from what actually matters with health, then he's ticking the boxes. Then it's a thumbs up. Then he's got it right. So for some people, that's, yeah, they don't have a six pack. Some people, they do have a six pack. Some people, they don't. But as long as you're ticking those boxes, generally what you'll find is, like you mentioned, Raph, most people kind of falling into this category of like a kind of 15-20% body fat females, and then like maybe 16-15% males, down all the way to kind of like 10%.
Yeah,
that's kind of where you're finding most people.
And then that range is really, I guess this comes down to genetics. So there is health at every within that range, right?
Totally.
There's some people, you know, probably say Phil Heath, probably the amount of muscle, if I was to carry what he normally carries, might be unhealthy for me. Mm. I'm having to eat so much food and like do so much training. I might be increasing my blood pressure just to carry around as much muscle that he would just carry naturally and be healthy, because, you know, his genetics, full freak show.
But he's on heaps of steroids.
No, he is now, but have you seen photos of him when he played basketball?
Oh, you mean pre-steroid Phil Heath?
Pre-steroids.
Okay.
You know,
let's just clear that up, Phil. Yeah.
No, just, I mean his natural amount of bodybuilding. So just a natural amount of muscle that someone like
natural
him.
Natural Heath.
Yeah, natural. For other people, it's almost unhealthy to literally reach that. And same thing for like being underweight. Some people are just really, you know, healthy, always have really lean. For other women, if they try to do that, they would like lose their period because it's so challenging for them. There's definitely some populations that just naturally do carry more fat.
Mm.
I think some like the islander populations, they're like big people just in general and might be healthy for them. But if you were that size, very likely if you're a different genetic profile, could be unhealthy for you to be in that size. So there's that's why we have a range, because there is a whole bunch of genetic differences there. But outside of that range, regardless of, I think, how you feel about it, there usually almost always is health benefits to going back towards that range.
Yeah. And the reason that I started with using those markers, because you need something objective to find a center point to which you can measure everyone else off, right? It's the same way that we have objective measurements of units of measurement for all things, for weight, for length, for distance, for time, all these things, because you need a measuring point, right? You need something that, you know, science can be conducted off and test and retest against. And if we just live in this subjective realm of health at every size and we have no metrics to kind of, I guess, work off and work beyond in the future and continue to improve, then people are going to die, or people are going to just justify being truly unhealthy, and you're going to have populations that are completely obese and okay with it, and that's just not good. So that is why you have these objective measurements, so that you have a tool to use with all humans, and those tools will get better and more accurate over time with the integration of different technologies and more research and stuff. But I think we're at a good starting point with all the stuff that we just mentioned.
I'll say one question I often get, which is people are like, oh, why is it that if I just like, you know, generally a pretty healthy person and I just kind of go about like choosing the foods that kind of appear to me, why do I end up unhealthy? And I just think the reason is because the society generally is fucked up.
Yeah.
So because you've got the wrong foods around you all day and your job is not ideal for a human, right? Your job is like be a computer 9 hours a day.
Yeah.
And you've got all these offerings of the wrong type of food, the wrong type of stimulants. So yeah, like just generally, you'll often end up unhealthy if you just go with the flow.
Yeah.
No eating disorders, but just go with the flow. Yeah, you end up unhealthy. You really have to, I think in today's day and age, depending on where you live, you have to go against the tide just to get healthy, which does seem weird. But I think when you consider how weird our society is from what it used to be, you realize that's why it is this way.
Yeah, because our technology and our tools have evolved, but our genetic material and our hardwiring has not. It's still ancient hardwiring.
Yeah, so if you just go with the flow and you're intuitive about it, you often end up really unhealthy.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think, but that is the situation.
So you reality,
have to be, you have to be like making weird choices every single day and saying no to things that most people would say yes to just to be healthy these days. And that is the reality.
Yeah. And last point we'll do to round out this conversation is the mental side, which I touched on as a marker of health. Now, there's some pretty obvious stuff when it comes around nutrition. So just kind of zoom in for a second around eating disorders. You know, we had this guest on Sarah King, and we talked about different types of eating disorders. But, you know, an eating disorder, I feel, is not as extreme as what this movement makes you think it is. So restricting yourself in terms of saying, no, well, I'm not going to have all this cake today. And I'll just have a little bit of cake. Or, you know what? Nah, this week, I'm like not really going to have any alcohol or whatever. There will be camps of people, especially from this movement, they say, you have a fucking eating disorder. You know, you're restricting yourself from alcohol. You should allow yourself to have any food. And whilst I agree with that, also to Raph's point, is we live in a pretty fucked up society. We've created a lot of foods which are not good for our bodies. It doesn't mean we can't have a little bits of them and enjoy them, but you have to, at the end of the day, having done this for so long, work with so many clients, the reality is you have to exercise restriction. You have to exercise restraint in order to be healthy. That is just the agreement that we all sign up to. There has to be moments where you say no.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, there might be like a party you kind of keen to go to, but you know you're going to have to drink and you're going to have to eat bad foods and you're really trying to work on your diet. You say, I'm not going to go at all because I don't want to be tempted. You don't have an eating disorder.
No. You don't.
At that point, you're just like, man,
have discipline.
I just know myself and I don't want to put myself through that and I'm really trying to stick to this because I want to get healthy. I'm not going to go. Yes, you may be missing out on a fun time in that one instance, but it's like a lot of sacrifices. And yeah, to throw that under the bus is like eating disorder and not enjoying your life. It's not always the case. It could be. Sometimes it is, but it's not always the case.
Which is why it gets tough, right? Because then the lines get blurry as to where does an eating disorder start and where does it...
Yeah, it's blurry.
Where does it stop?
Just because you track your macros, you don't have a disorder.
No. But, if you measure and you weigh everything in your phone and you can't eat a single meal without weighing and measuring it because you're scared that your calories are going to not add up at the end of the day, then you have a bit of a problem. Right? So, it's just hard. It just takes experience. It takes time to know yourself. And sometimes maybe you do adapt some, you know, forms of eating disorders, which I have had in the past where I was like, I would avoid every social situation because I wasn't going to go get the macros that I needed. I wasn't going to be able to weigh the food that I ate. But sometimes it takes going to that extreme, having that self-awareness to pull yourself back and be like, you know what? It's not really that fun. I kind of want to go out a little bit. Yeah, sure. I got an idea now of how macros work. Maybe when I go out, I'm going to try, I'll order the steak. And I'll go, you know, a little bit of sauce on the side so I can add the amount of sauce that I want. And then, you know, I'll get veggies on the side as well. It's adjustments that you can make to be healthy. And so I think it's just experience. You just take time with it. Don't ever go way too deep into one camp and never come out. And I guess the last point I want to finish on here is like, regardless of, you know, you want to be following these metrics objectively as possible that we talked about. And then there's also the conversation you're having with yourself in your head, and that always needs to be a positive conversation. And I think it's part of where this movement gets right is that you do always need to treat yourself with respect. You can't come at this from a point of punishment. You can't be like, I'm a fucking loser, I'm a fat shit, I'm a skinny shit, I need to do this or do that because I hate myself, because I don't like myself, because I don't deserve these things. No, it needs to be not what I'm sacrificing, not what I'm missing out on, not what I'm bad at, instead of I'm doing this because I want to get better. I want to level up. I want to improve myself, right? Very similar conversation, but just coming at it from a positive perspective. I'm giving up these foods. I'm giving up this social event because I know there's a better version of myself out there. And I want to work towards that version instead of fucking hate myself. I'm a loser. This has to change. I have such a shit body. Only way to do that is to give up all my fun and all my social time. So that's what I'm going to do. And fuck going to this party because I'm a fat shit. Like that. Getting the same outcome, you're going towards the same result, but one, you're just approaching it in a very different way. So think about what you're gaining, think about the better person that you're becoming versus all the sacrifice and all the negativity and all that fuel that you need to use to achieve that same goal. So we'll leave it there. So positive and self-talk, very important to always keep your chat with yourself positive. That's going to make you a better person to be around, and I think that's going to help just for the rest of your life and trickle over into other things as well. As we mentioned at the start of the show, guys, make sure you check out True Protein, the supplements, and then RecGen, the apparel as well.
Which make clothes at every size. They don't discriminate. Actually, not true. The extra large is not that big.
No, it's not that big. It's not that big.
You can fit in it.
Yeah, fit the objective measures. All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in this week. I'm going to speak to you all next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themindmuscleproject.com/The After Show. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.